Welcome to The Devil is in the Details. Headlines may grab your attention, but the devil is really in the details. This podcast will examine what I think is important to understanding the headlines. I'm your host, Dr. Tracy Pearson. Thanks for joining me. Let's get started. I don't know about you, but I needed a bit of a breather. I needed to recover from the last 4 years, but I'm back for a second season of The Devil is in the Details, and apparently just in time, because it seems that we're back to our bread and butter issues, and there's a problem down yonder in the great state of Texas.
Deep in the heart of Texas.
That should really be deep in the heartbeat of Texas. That's right. This episode is about the new Texas abortion law, SB 8, what it says, what it means in practice for the fools that wrote it, and some thoughts on how to attack it. SB is the new bill that has many concerned that the seminal case of Roe v. Wade may be overturned and that women will be unable to seek an abortion after 6 weeks. SB 8 is the new bill that has many concerned that the seminal case of Roe v. Wade may be overturned and that women will be unable to seek an abortion after 6 weeks, including in cases involving rape and incest. The U.S. Supreme Court has repeatedly affirmed the right for a woman to obtain an abortion, first in 1973 in Roe v. Wade, and again in 1992, Planned Parenthood v. Casey, where the court found that there could be no undue burden imposed by the state on seeking an abortion. Along the way, there have been a number of challenges that have failed. I have never and will never understand what business it is of yours whether I seek an abortion. If you oppose abortion, please tweet me and tell me why it is your business. You can tweet me at Tracy Explains. You aren't going to carry the child, clothe the child, feed the child, house the child, raise the child, educate the child, or do anything to help that child. It seems if you're going to support politicians who want to eliminate my ability to obtain contraception, curtail or eliminate support programs that will help me provide for the child, and do nothing to support me while they go around having affairs, obtaining secret abortions, and judging me for having sex in the first place, then you don't care about a child or the mother at all. Anyway, based on anecdotal evidence, people who espouse these views often do it on religious grounds. Well, let me ask you, what if I don't believe in your religion? Why does your religion decide what I do to my body? The same people who take issue with my abortion won't put a mask on their face or get a vaccine and are trying to claim a slogan, my body, my rights. Here's the problem with that argument. I'm a living, breathing, sentient being that lives outside of a uterus, and I have a right to not die or get seriously ill because of your careless behavior, and the masking and vaccine measures are backed by science, not your religion. An embryo is none of those things. I'm focusing on embryo because it seems the boys were heavy-handed in their math. Embryo is the early stage of human development where organs for critical body structures are formed. An embryo becomes a fetus beginning in the 11th week of pregnancy. So these folks are trying to ban pregnancy after 6 weeks, but the embryo cannot survive on its own outside of the human body. A heartbeat may be able to be detected, but those embryos are susceptible to spontaneous abortion or miscarriages and can't live on its own. It's the size of a piece of rice. No kidding. While having my period, I've thrown blood clots that were larger. And on another note, my egg can't do anything on its own. It requires sperm, and sperm is a living thing. It, unlike my egg, has a lifespan. It moves on its own volition. I'm not being funny when I say that no one is rushing to save the sperm when it is living and moves. Reading this Texas law, which you can find on my website, TracyExplains.com, there's a lot that is wonky about it, and I would look for a detailed blog post in the coming weeks about my analysis of the law. But for this purpose, I note, quote, unborn child is defined as a human fetus or embryo in any stage of gestation from fertilization until birth. You're going to hear shortly why that is a problem for men in Texas. The law also defines standing as determined by the U.S. Supreme Court. Let me explain. You may have heard that the law is creating a vigilante system whereby anyone can sue to enforce the law, which gives the person who sues and wins $10,000 plus attorney's fees. This is an attempt to conscript private citizens to act on behalf of the state, since the state can't restrict abortion. Despite disavowing any involvement, and that's stated in the statute, the justification for the statute as written in the law is that Texas has a compelling state interest in protecting the health of the mother and the, quote, unborn child. If Texas had a face, it would be talking out of both sides of it. Moving on. To bring a lawsuit, you have to have standing or a right to sue. The U.S. Supreme Court laid out three requirements. You have to have suffered an injury, or you have to be at risk of imminently suffering an injury. This is the injury in fact requirement. There must be a causal connection between the injury and the conduct complained of, so that the injury connects to the conduct. This is the causation requirement. And it cannot be speculative, but likely, and that a court deciding in your favor can solve the problem. This is the redressability requirement. A party cannot assert someone else's rights, with the exception of what is called the next friend doctrine, such as bringing a lawsuit on behalf of an infant or an incompetent person. The next friend doctrine, discussed in a case called Whitmore, required that the next friend have an adequate explanation of why the real party in interest cannot file the petition themselves, and the third party must truly be dedicated to the best interests of the person. Now, if you're listening closely, you will note a couple of key points. First, who is the real party at interest? And second, is the use of the word person? An embryo or fetus does not meet either of these requirements. When the next friend doctrine has been used is when the other parent, the father, wants to sue to stop the abortion. It hasn't been successful because the Supreme Court has attached the right to an abortion to the constitutional right of a woman. Right out of the gate, it seems that anyone seeking to sue under SB 8 is going to have a hurdle. They don't have standing like typical litigants, and the next friend doctrine doesn't apply. They have an added problem in that the third party would have to show they are truly dedicated to the best interests of the person, and an embryo or fetus is not a person. The first choice for jurisdiction for the lawsuit, and this one kills me. The first choice of venue is the county in which all or substantial part of the events or omissions giving rise to the claim occurred. In English, so you'll need to know where I had sex. That's an indicator of what this law is punishing. The first choice of venue isn't where I live or where you live, but where I had sex. Absent from the law is any mention of the male who impregnates the female, with the exception that men who cause the pregnancy through rape or incest can't also be a bounty hunter. I suppose we should be grateful for that kindness. This is a law that punishes women, anyone who helps the woman, and healthcare providers. Males who get women pregnant get a pass. This is what I would call a gap, and it's a place to make a stand. If Texas wants to treat an embryo or a fetus as a person for the purposes of their abortion position, something they've been burning over ever since the U.S. Supreme Court decided Roe v. Wade, yes, that was a Texas case, then I say women who are 6 weeks and one day pregnant, who are unable to secure an abortion in Texas, should without delay file for child support. If the state has an interest in the health of the mother and what they call an unborn child, then child support will assist in protecting that health by providing financial support. If the beating heart is the field where they want to have this battle, bring it on. You can't claim a beating heart is good for one purpose and not the other. If it's viability that you will rest on when the child support petition arrives, then the abortion law is flawed, right? Child support is a complex calculation, but the maximum amount of support per month for one child is $1,834. Multiply that number by 18 years plus those 9 months, and males will be looking at a total of $412,650. It seems unless you want to pay child support, then the men in Texas might start rethinking whether they support the law or those politicians. If your husband has been known to cheat on you, you might also think about whether you support that law because he won't be able to send her off for a quick abortion in the future, and it might cut into your family's budget when he has to pay child support. It's not like Texas is known for caring about kids. Children right now are sleeping in offices, hotels, and churches because there is a foster care crisis. Over 400 kids don't even have a foster family and are in unlicensed situations. These kids have been subjected to sexual abuse and physical abuse. They have gone missing, and some have been groomed for sex trafficking. That's correct. American children in Texas, in the state's care, have been subjected to sex trafficking and abuse. How about those conservatives in Texas, in the legislature, spend some time working on providing adequate care and protection for children who have been born, and stop worrying about the grain of rice in my uterus? Okay, folks. This was a brief look behind the latest headline about Texas's abortion law. If you've listened to this podcast before, thanks for listening again. Thank you for listening to The Devil is in the Details. Please support this podcast by subscribing wherever you find your favorite podcasts. You may also learn more about me at my website, TracyExplains.com.